are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
I can't. How many times have we been reprimanded or have reprimanded someone for declaring such a negative response to something we're facing? Growing up, to my every "I can't," I would hear my mom's constant response, "Can't, never, could." Well, I know. We must always try, persevere, go the extra mile, but let's just face it. We will face a considerable number of situations in life that we simply cannot conquer on our own. Don't you agree with that? But it's also in these darkest of moments and most challenging of times when we discover we can't is when a shift in thinking can happen. We discover that while we can't, we surely have a God that can. In "I can't" moments, we find our place to step beyond the threshold of what is me possible to what can only be declared as God working through me possible. It's the place I know that God is talking about when He declares in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26, "Man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Hello, friends, and welcome to our third season of Coffee. I'm Kim Clavel, and I'm honored to be your host again as we dive into another series. Remember now, Coffee stands for Conversations of Friends of Faith to encourage and equip. So I invite you to grab your coffee and join us each week as we will be talking. We will be sharing stories of situations that would have been impossible without our sovereign God stepping in. We will be talking to men, women, teens, couples, pastors, housewives, moms, executives of all denominations and of all ages and all across the nation, to proclaim the power of what only God can do. We will together experience the desperation of personal weaknesses and the triumphant rescue of our God's all-surpassing power in our every situation. We plan to have real talk about relevant issues, and I pray that each conversation will be right on time to encourage and biblically equip you in whatever situation you might be facing. We want you to be a part of our weekly coffee talk. In the last half of each show, you will be invited to call in, ask a question, or make a comment. Perhaps you'll want to simply thank our guests for something they've said that has made a difference to you. If you'd like to do that, you may call 347-324-5246, hit the star, press 1, and you'll be put into our green room, and our director will let us know that you're there, and we will bring you on to join the incredible conversations we're going to be having each week. So today, to kick off our new season, we have such a testimony of hope that I've been speaking about. Imagine, if you can, just think about this for just a moment. Imagine passing out one day and waking up to discover you have a chronic disease that has left you non-functional. All your future plans shattered with a single diagnosis. Well, that's the story of our guest today, Sandy Deagle. Stay with us because while her story begins as one filled with deep, devastating moments, you're also about to hear of the transformation to confidence and hope in God's new plans and purposes. Good morning, Sandy. Welcome to Coffee with Kim. I'm so glad and delighted to have you with us today.
Oh, good morning, Kim. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm so happy to be here, and you've kind of joined our team a little bit, and after we talk, we're going to share with our audience, all of our friends who've joined us, what you're actually going to be doing. But before we get into all that, I just want people to get to know you and to hear some of the things that you have gone through and just the hope that you have to share. So we're kicking off a brand new season. I can just see our friends. You know, Sandy, we built such an incredible group of friendship on this show, and I can just see our friends just leaning in again because we're all so delighted to be back together. So I want to introduce you to a large group. Yes, yes. So welcome aboard. So Sandy, let's just start with your story. And I think that the best place to do that is to go back to your life. Help us understand what your life looked like prior to March of 2008.
Okay. I was brought up in a family of six. I have three brothers, and I have an electrical engineering degree and a master's in computer science. And I have two children, a boy and a girl, and I did stay home with my children for 5 years, and then when I went back to work, I went back to teaching. And I was very active in teaching, and I was a Girl Scout leader and very active in both of the kids' lives. And then I taught in middle school for 10 years in a parochial middle school. And then I went and transferred to a high school to teach mathematics. And that first year in high school, I was very active. I participated in the faculty-student basketball game and the faculty-student volleyball game, and I was at least a very active person, and that changed very drastically in March 2008.
But up until that time, I mean, you were just like, you had your life planned. You had your electrical engineering degree. You've gone back to school to teach math. You pretty much are like most of us and most of our listeners today. It's like life was planned out. You had prepared yourself for your future, and there was a plan. And I know with math, I know enough about math teachers that you like everything to add up, and you like everything just the equation set, right? 1 + 1 =
Absolutely.
2 always, and do this plus do something else, and it always equals out to the path that we plan. That's kind of what we plan, but that's our plans and not God's plans. And I'm sure you're speaking to a lot of people. Yeah, that's right. Not God's plan. And you know, and I feel like that's probably speaking to a lot of people right now that are listening, that we have our plans laid out. We've really done everything that we can do to ensure that life is going to be what we think God has planned. And then, boy, with a call or with one thing, everything can kind of change and shift. And that's exactly what happened to you, Sandy. So let's go back. Let's go to March 2008 and tell us what happened to you.
Absolutely. I was singing in a folk group at a mass on a Sunday, and it happened to be a First Communion mass for a handful of children receiving their First Communion. And I felt like I was not getting enough oxygen to my brain, and I passed out and did a face plant right in the middle of their, First Communion mass. And right away, when I came to, the first thing that I said was, get me out of here, because I was more embarrassed than anything else. But unfortunately, I did have to go to the hospital, and when, they did all kinds of tests, and when the doctor came in, I said, I know you're just going to tell me that it was stress. And he said, unfortunately, this time I'm not. And I had to go through a lot of tests and see a lot of doctors. And after a period of time, I was diagnosed with postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, and it was a severe case, and in fact, it was borderline autonomic failure. And I was told at that time that I would be dysfunctional. I had to move into my mom and dad's house, and because I couldn't take care of myself, I was physically I exercise intolerant. So even getting dressed, after getting dressed in the morning, I would need a 2-hour nap. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to stop before we get into that and tell us, because what is that? It POTS. Tell us exactly what that, what does that mean to those of us who are not medically inclined?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. The blood pools to your feet. Blood pulls to your feet. So when you stand up, your blood pressure drops at least 30. Your diastolic, the top number, drops at least 30 points. And then your heart races to try to compensate for it. So and my blood pressure was extremely low to begin with. So my blood pressure was then dropping to in the 80s or, you know, and so then I would pass it. That's what was causing me to pass out. But you know, when the blood is leaving your head, you know, you also then have trouble sometimes with your speech, you know, and your blood also leaves your head when you eat, you know, to go to your stomach, to digest food. When you, if you raise your arm, your blood leaves your head, you know, so there's a lot of times where your blood is going to be leaving your head.
You said that that the, your doctor explained it, that your brain was working similar to an astronaut when you lay down. What does that mean?
Well, like when the astronauts get used to the lighter gravity on the moon, when they come back, their body has to relearn the gravity, the gravitation on the Earth. So that was the one thing they explained to me, that the reason that I was having so much trouble. And I wasn't becoming as functional until, like I was saying, you know, I can't even do anything until about 2 p.m. And he said, well, that's because when you lay down, your brain is getting used to the laying down, and it's taking too long to get used to sitting back up. And so if you slept in a recliner, your brain wouldn't have to relearn sitting up again. And so I have been sleeping in a recliner for almost 11 years now. Because now, you know, if I lay down, my brain would then have to relearn sitting back up again, and so it would take longer to relearn that. So I have a solution for that, man. if I don't lay down, I don't have to relearn that again.
It's amazing the attitude you have about it now. But oh my gosh, I mean, you went from being, you know, playing in the soccer games and being the school teacher and the engineer and very just so active because you did have these children, to getting to where you literally could not sit up if you lay down in bed.
That was
and I think about that, and yours is a diagnosis. But Sandy, I think about people who, you know, within a phone call or a decision or a car accident or a miscarriage, or, you know, that have that same type of shock into their system, and their plans seem to crumble. And there has to be, there is, because I face that in different things in my life. There is a devastation, a hopelessness, a darkness that happens during that time. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. I had a difficult time believing that it was happening, but I also had I believe that for everything that God has a reason, and I tried to find what the reason was. I knew that I knew that it wasn't time for me to be completely dysfunctional. So I traveled to doctors in different, the cardiologist I had in Maryland told me about a specialist in Toledo, Ohio that specialized in this illness and did a lot of research, was doing a lot of research on it at the time. And it took me 6 months to get in with him. But, that was, where I needed to be. He was able to get me functional enough I'm still classified as dysfunctional, but functional enough to fake it. Be able to, be in a wheelchair and able to move, to get around and still operate, at short periods of the time and live,
I like what you mm-hmm. said, and live, during that time, because it took, you just said it took six months to see a specialist. I see where you began a seven-month medical journey to discovering what was going on. So there were a lot of, there had to be lots of stretches of time where there was no activity, nothing going on. During those times, mm-hmm. Sandy, did you ever have any rock bottom moments that you just felt off despair?
There were two rock bottoms that I felt. The first one was probably getting the diagnosis that I was going to be, dysfunctional, and that there was no cure, that's kind of hard to hear when you're relatively young, because I was, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I have to use my brain. I was early 40s. But I was, I need to back up the story. I was able to get back to work, despite everyone, all the doctors thinking that I would not. I was able to get back to work, and I was able to work for 7.5 years, which was the longest that any of the doctor in Toledo, the specialist patients, had ever worked before. They were able to get me able, to work, and with the use of the school was exceptional. It was an all girls parochial school, and several teachers actually said they thought I was a better teacher when I come back to school, because with the use of technology and being able to face the girls and interact better with them. They thought I was a better teacher for it. And it was good for the girls, too, to see me mm-hmm. and that I was able to come back. And, I taught them, too. I think I brought, them forward in their faith and the ability to help and care for people, too. Mm-hmm. Because if they saw mm-hmm. that I was, getting a little pale from, either talking too much or, they made sure that I had a fan on, and stuff. So that was a blessing as well. The second rock bottom that I hit was when I banged my head I did some brain, I got a concussion and found out that I had some damage to my brain that, I was not able to then teach anymore, and so then I became disabled and not able to go back to work at all. And that was an emotional hit. Then I wondered, I had to look hard for, I still believe that there is nothing in this world that God and I can't do together. You were saying, your message about, when I can't, God. Well, I've always lived with He and I. There's nothing we can't do together.
Right.
So.
Absolutely. But in those moments, so many times, even as strong believers, it's okay. Don't you think, to have those moments of weakness where you just kind of come to the end of yourself and. Work with women and men so many times that you just kind of come to the end of your hope. and you sit in that little in that dark space. And that's one of the things, Sandy, that I think your story does, and one of the things that I want to do this season is I want everyone to understand those dark places are okay. To question your faith is okay. God is big enough. As a matter of fact, I almost feel like sometimes it's very necessary because you have to kind of get to the end of where your faith is to really be able to stretch it and to grow. That's right, and to exercise that muscle. And so we're going to take a break, Sandy, for just 30 seconds. And when we get back, I want to, we've talked about your life of the active mom and school teacher and engineer and all that you were doing. We talked about the debilitating diagnosis that you had, the falls, and some of the dark moments that you felt. And I pray, one of the reasons that I ask you about, the rock bottom moments and the dark moments, because I truly believe that that is where we connect the most with each other. I feel like when we are vulnerable enough to share, the darkest of times, that is when we can acknowledge that, we really can get to the end of ourselves, but at the end of ourselves, we do find a sovereign God who can step in and truly can come to our rescue. So when we get back after 30 seconds, let's talk about, the way up and talk about what it took in you to really be able to come back from the rock bottom and how our listeners can begin that path today as well. So we'll be right back in 30 seconds.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We're so delighted to be beginning our third season of Coffee with Kim. I'm delighted to have you. I hope that each week you will grab your coffee and you will join us for a testimony of God's hope. When we get to the end of where we are and to understand that God is our sovereign God who steps in and rescues us and turns our story for others' hope and His glory. Before we get back to today's guest, I'd like to remind you, if you happen to be in the Baltimore area, or if you can get to the Baltimore area, we are having our Voices of Hope Conference this coming weekend in Baltimore. Don't miss this event. I promise you, you will walk away transformed and hopeful by the many speakers that we have coming in. Scholarships are available. Go to our website at kimcrable.org and find out how to be a part of this. Our Birds of Blessings message tour is underway. We are booking for fall of 2020. So if you would like to be a part of this, we sure would like to come to your area. Go to our website for more information. Or you can contact Karen at kimcrable.org. I want you to know that NRB-TV and Inspiration TV will be airing our studies, Burdens of Blessings, and a new talk show that we just began, Coffee Talk with Kim. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Stay tuned. We'll be letting you know about the days and times. Check your local listings. We invite you to like our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. Join us on the daily conversations. Be a part of what we're doing. We will be better because of you when you join us. Also, and finally, I want you to remember that Coffee with Kim is an entirely listener-supported radio program. If you would like to invest in our weekly radio show, you can go to our website and simply click on support our ministry and be a part of what we're doing. Well, thank you again for joining us today. I would like to bring back now our guest, Sandy Deagle. And, Sandy, we are so glad to have you. Thank you again for joining us. So we were talking about devastation of your diagnoses. And I want to remind our listeners, if they would like to talk to you or say something to you, that they could call 347-324 5246 and hit star 1, and they can come on and make any comments or ask questions, because you're someone who really was, life just threw you, as they say, a real curveball, and there were some really rock-bottom moments. So, Sandy, what would you say, what's one of the first things that you would say that you needed to step into be able to move forward in this diagnosis that you had when life had come to an end as you knew it and you were starting a new normal?
Well, one thing that I had always been a very independent person, and one thing that was very hard for me to accept was help from other people. And I have to tell you, my very, very good friend, Laura Brusca, who definitely wanted me to mention her name, she got a group of friends, a group of my friends together, and they made meals for me twice a week for the first 2 years that I went back to work. Because that was something, 2 years. Yeah. And because I needed a lot of help too. I mean, I was able to get back to work, but I needed help. And because I was unable to do a lot of things, my mom was doing my laundry for me. And helping, there were a lot of things that I, just basic need things that I couldn't do myself. So, and it was hard for me to accept help from others. But as someone told me, that sometimes the gift that you give to others is to allow them to give a gift to you and to help you. And so I think that was... That was something that I needed to accept and accept graciously.
Absolutely. So the first step was understanding that you really couldn't do it on your own, that you really did need help. And and I totally get you on that. It's so hard for we as women, and I'm sure men too, to really get to the place where we must accept others' help. But boy, what a wise statement that your mom gave to you, that you were actually allowing other people to give. So we're going to go, what about trust? I want to talk about how you had to rebuild your trust and really trust in what God was doing. But before we do that, we have a caller, and since I promised we were going to take calls, I want to take this call, Sandy. Let's get this, and then I want to talk about the trust, and I'm going to talk about the Bible scriptures and the things that really helped you. I want to give some concrete principles and information to people who are listening. But caller 7456, welcome to Coffee.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Kim.
Hi.
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 Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, welcome to the show. Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just, I hear Sandy and what she's saying, and I just have to say that sometimes there are not visible signs that you need help. I worked in special ed, and I worked with learning disabled children, and people looked at them and they looked the same. And I think that's when all your strategies about the trash talk, and I'm anxious to hear what Sandy says, that I rely on to get me through the days, because mine isn't a visible burden.
Marty, I'm so glad, and I do recognize this is a friend, Marty, that we honor, and I'm so thankful that you brought that up, because you're so right. We carry all kinds of things that we need to learn to trust in, and some are much more obvious than others. Do you have in particular question, Marty, or are you just ready to hear whatever Sandy has?
I want to hear Sandy's strategies, because yours are invaluable, and I got them in my battle arsenal, but I'd like to hear how Sandy did this and learn some more things to put in my battle.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Marty, for calling in, and let's get started with that. Let's have Sandy, did you have any comments you wanted to make to Marty before she hangs up?
For handling invisible battles?
Any battle against the devil.
The battle.
Any battle.
Well, most often a lot of times, the biggest one is that it's not in our time, it's in God's time, and I just really believe that if God brings you to it, that he brings you through it. And so, you know, that's kind of how I, you know, get through, you know, is that there's God. I try to figure out what the reason is for something, you know, and that if it's, you know, if this is the way it is, then what's the best way that I can handle the cards that I'm dealt.
And a scripture that that Sandy had put to this, Marty, is, and for our listeners, is Isaiah 58:11. She had underlined it. I love this. If God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. And the scripture is, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. What a beautiful scripture to go with that. Well, Marty, thank you so much for calling.
Thank
and we
you.
Are going to let, Sandy go right on into building trust. You know, you said that God has a reason for allowing things to happen, but your principle is it is our job to trust his will and know that nothing is going to happen today that he and I can't handle. So here's the question, Sandy. How do you build this type of trust? How do we build this? Because you have such a strong faith and strong trust. And, you know, at times of trying, our faith and our trust can be what we think is broken. We think that God has left us. So how did you, I'm not saying you felt that way, but I'm just saying the general population. So how did you handle rebuilding your trust in, okay, this is my new life?
It was difficult at first. I had to look for I guess I'm bullheaded, but I really had to dig deep and find, you know, a reason for it. And I have a son that has a problem with severe depression, and he has, in fact, had several suicide attempts, and. And so I had said to him after, you know, I was healthy enough to be at home that maybe God's reason for my being sick was that he could help take care of me. And so that he and I, neither one of us could live alone, but the two of us could help take care of each other. And so that gave me more faith, you know, so, you know, I don't know, I just think sometimes you just have to dig even deeper at those times that you're at rock bottom and find where that extra oomph is. And I remember one time hearing, I believe it was at one of your seminars, that sometimes you're deep in that hole and you just need a friend to come down in there with you,
right?
For a little bit,
right?
You know, sometimes you need to pull out, but sometimes you need someone down there with you. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you have so many scriptures that you say that you use. I love the one you said, Psalms 37:5. God has a reason for allowing things to happen. We may never understand his wisdom, but we simply have to trust his will. And sometimes that trust is just a blind trust, isn't it, Sandy?
Yes.
Sometimes you just, when you can't fight, and you know one of the things that we talk about in Burns the Blessing so much is you know, it's easy, and it is our carnal nature. It's our fleshy nature. It's who we are so many times to want to not accept what's happened to us. Sometimes it's so painful. Sometimes it's so disappointing. But acknowledging the truth and being able to step into that truth and quit fighting our past is really the only way that we can take our stand and really begin fighting for our future. And that's what I see that you did, and that's what actually I see you doing every day, is that there. I think it's good and it's okay, and of course it's fine to sit in moments of why did this happen to me, what's going on, and almost grieve. But then there comes a time when we just have to, just like with the man who was lying around the pool at Bethesda for 38 years. Remember, Jesus looked at him and said, "Do you want to get better?" And I see where you say here, you said, "I wanted to be better." When I asked, you wanted to get better. You wanted to make that change. And don't you think that that's probably the deepest secret, is that there's something inside your soul that says, I have to do this?
Yes. Yes. And even now when, you know, I still have a problem with the blood leaving my head, so I know I have to monitor that I can only physically or emotionally do things for 15-minute intervals and then rest and not do anything and before I have another 15 minutes to do something or whatever. I just have to closely monitor it, you know, but I can do that as long as I closely monitor it, you know. So that's, you know, that is, you know, my life. And so, you know, I just, you know, have to, you know, God gives us many gifts and we have to know how to use them and, you know, accept the way things are. And, you know, it's in God's time, not ours. So.
Well, you said two things right there that I think is crucial to anyone who is in hurt and pain and depression or anything else that one may be facing. You said two things. One, you said, this is my life now. This is your life. Mm-hmm. And I think that so many times that's so hard to recognize when we are living in disappointment, because we always want to look back and go, oh, if only this hadn't happened, or, oh, what could be. But no, this is my life. And from that, the next thing you said was, but I can do what I can do. So you had to look at your new potential of what you could do, and you said, I can do this for 15 minutes. And so that is, I would like for you, Sandy, to speak to those out there who are thinking about that, because that's a huge principle, to know what you can do at this moment and be, learn to be satisfied with that. How do you learn to be satisfied with that?
Well, when you're originally told that you don't think, you know, that you're going to be completely dysfunctional and not able to do anything, and you think that you're going to be, you know, totally dependent on everybody, you know, you learn to appreciate that, you know, you're able to do a something. And you know, I've been from that to, you know, well, obviously I had a nice glimpse of, you know, working for a while, but, you know, that's now gone. But, you know, to appreciate now, you know, I'm to the managed part of, and this is probably where my life is, but it's better even now than it was a couple years ago. You know, I'm able to just spend about 15 minutes where I can do something small physical or small, you know, emotional or any kind of exertion. But, you know, that's a limitation that I have, because if I go above that, I will either pass out or fall asleep or have to pay for it all the next day or two, where I'm going to be, you know, not able to do anything. So I have to monitor that. And and be appreciative that I'm able to do that much. Because, I mean, you know, everyone, you know, if anyone has any kind of problem, you know, I mean, if you're born with, you know, a physical ailment or, you know, disability, you know, just appreciate that you're able to do a small something, you know. You know, people that a smile, it's so amazing how, you know, you smile to someone on the street, and, you know, some people that may be the best thing for their day, you know. So that's a gift that you can give someone to brighten up their day. That's worth more than $1 million to some people. So, you know.
Absolutely. What you made me think of just now is, you know, I think that even people who aren't suffering with the diagnosis, that life has just gotten bored, or they're just, you know, not as exciting as it used to be, or whatever it is. I think you just spoke into their lives too, because I remember a few years ago, I was in the hospital. I had something happen, and I was hospitalized for a few days, and I came home, Sandy, and I remember I was so weak, and I'd had surgery, and I was kind of bedridden, and I will never forget the first morning that I could get out of bed and unload my dishwasher. Now, if you know me, you know that's one of the things I don't like. I like loading it, but I don't like unloading it. There are a lot of things that I don't mind doing. I'd rather clean toilets than unload the dishwasher. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. But I will tell you, I remember bending over and picking those dishes, something that in the past I would have just not looked forward to at all. I remember thinking, what a gift. What a blessing this is to be able to be doing this small activity. And I think that's what you're trying to say to us is, or you're saying loud and clear to us, is that accept what you can do. And as the Bible says, you know, understand this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice in it and be glad in the things we can do. And take a fresh perspective on what it is that we can do. Because there's a lot of people that are even just dealing with a deep depression or a deep loss or a move to another city. And your message of just accepting it and doing what you can do, I think is very helpful to a lot of people today. One of the things that you had mentioned is that you said that your mom said to you she was still praying for a miracle in your life.
Yes.
And Sandy, what was your response to her? I love this. What was your response?
I told her that I already got my miracle, Mom. So because they thought that I wasn't going to be able to ever do anything. So I told her that I already got my miracle.
I just kind of rest in that for a minute, because there you are, your whole life has changed, but you found your miracle in what you said, life. This is my life. And what a strong message for people who are listening today, to really be empowered by the fact that wherever you are, this is life. I remember Sandy counseling with someone not too long ago who was having a horrible struggle with her teenager who was battling drugs and just a lot of hurt going on. And I remember saying to her, at least you're here. You are here for him. And I think to go back and do what you've done and to really understand, hey, I'm here for this moment and I can do what I can do, is such a strong message to everyone. So tell us, and I'll remind our callers, if anyone would like to call in and speak to Sandy, the number is 347-324-5246. Press 1 and you can come on air. I do have a message for you. I had a call from one of your friends who is out of town, and she texted this morning. She said, will you please, I can't call in, but will you please give my friend Sandy a message? And, of course, it was your friend Laura, who would probably not want to be mentioned by doing anything good, because that's just the way she is. She's so humble in everything she does. But I told Laura, I said, you know, Sandy had listed you on her in conversation on her work, that you were one of the friends who had helped her so much in her spiritual walk and going through what she's gone through. And Laura said, wow, I find that very ironic that she would say that I had helped her. She said, because, in fact, you had helped her so much that you, Sandy, had helped her through two of her toughest times in life, through her divorce and through her cancer diagnosis. And she says mm-hmm. that in your life, as you are living it now, in the practical steps in which you're doing it, in your new normal, that you had led her to a new faith and a daily encouragement. And she says she calls you her big sister and that she's so thankful for your 40-year friendship. You two have been through a lot together, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
Mm.
Yes,
well, how
we
would
have.
You respond, how would you respond to her?
Oh, I love her dearly.
Yes.
We have been through the the good times and the bad times together, and I think we have grown in faith because of it.
Yes, absolutely, and that's part of building that trust that we want our listeners to hear today is that, you know, through the devastation of diagnosis, through the devastation of whatever is going on in your life, that one of the greatest things that we need is to understand that we need people in our lives to help us, that we have to reach out and really be able to share our hearts. Because it was like Marty said, our caller, is that many times it's very obvious when someone is hurting, but just as so, or so many times people are hurting right beside us and we can't see them. So many times we mm-hmm. have to articulate that need that says, you know, I'm going through something. And friendships really, really help you get through the darkest times, don't they, Sandy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get through without friends and my parents. I would not be where I am today.
Well, I think that the trust, continuing to build our trust in what God is doing, and I think there's three ways that maybe we can do that, is really face the facts of our life, like what you were talking about, really face the fact, you know, this is my new normal, and that as you face that your faith, that you refuse to let your faith overshadow or the hurt overshadow the faith, that you step into that faith and to say just what you have said, Sandy, is like, this is my new normal. This is my life. Let me see what I can do, and let me take those little steps. And for our listeners, I really want you to hear that loud and clearly, because I need to hear that loud and clearly, is that our healing, our keeping on, is going to come in small, gradual steps of just doing what we can do. For someone who's dealing with depression, it might just be, you know, getting the courage to get off the sofa and go to the grocery store for just a minute. It may be jumping on the phone just to text someone. It's those little steps, right, Sandy, that we just do whatever we can do and to be okay with
that. Absolutely.
Yes. And through that, we start building our faith again. It's like we start seeing a little bit of light. So we can, you know, face the facts, allow our faith to come in, and then talk to others who have gone through same or similar experiences, to really build that community, like what you said that you had. People were so kind and gracious, and that's because that's what you've always been, and bringing the meals, you know, encouraging you, doing whatever they needed to do. And then let me ask you about this, Sandy. Did you do a personal, daily quiet time? Did you have time that you spent in your Bible? How did you keep yourself built up? How did you keep your faith strong during this?
Well, daily prayer. I did have some quiet time. I taught in a parochial school, so I prayed in school with young people. I thought that was one thing that was very good for me. And I think it was very good for them also. And I don't know why. I think that was a calling as well. I think that helped me And I think it was very good for them.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to what you said earlier. God had you right where he wanted you. That was part of the miracle, is that he placed you right where he wanted you to be. And you talked about how the girls actually ministered to you. They saw you in your need. And that's amazing. Did you teach them that? Did you tell them that so they'd know
what
to look for?
Well, it became a standard joke, actually, about me and Pepsi and a fan. Yeah, so because of needing the oxygen to my brain, that I would turn a fan on if I needed extra air, you know, to get the oxygen to my brain faster. And I would always have a Pepsi on the desk. So if I would get a little pale, someone would make sure the fan was on.
There again, you were kind of making yourself vulnerable, and by doing so, you were inviting the girls in to be a part of what you were going through, and that was a gift to them too. And I bet they'll never forget that. So facing the facts, doing what we can, talk to others, have a group, have friends around you. And for our listeners, I want you to hear this, because for many of you, I'm afraid that you're trying to deal with depression and discouragement and doubt alone. And I will tell you, it's not going to get better. God did not make us to be on our own, so we're not going to be able to heal alone. We need to invite people into, and I know the voices in our head say, oh no, they won't accept it, I'll be embarrassed, they're going to walk away, what are they going to think? But you know what, it's just the opposite. When we allow people into our hurt, isn't it right, Sandy, that's when we see them coming to our rescue and doing things, and we see them finding a purpose in actually helping us. That's what you found, wasn't
Absolutely.
It, Sandy?
Absolutely. I was amazed. I was amazed. And strangers, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people that were not, you know, people that I just did not expect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being shocked when someone came to my door with food that was left over from a function that they had, and they said, you know, and it wasn't people that I was, you know, necessarily close to. It was an acquaintance. But, you know, they said they had had a function and there was some food left over, and they thought that maybe it was something that I could use, because they knew that I had, you know, been on disability and, you know, had been off for a while. And I was just so shocked, you know, that they thought of me. But that was just so gracious, you know.
Absolutely. And what you're saying there is another way. You know, we've listed several, but four that I know of. One, you know, face the facts of where you are and do what you can do. Two, invite people into your situation, those that would understand you. Build a community. Three, have your personal quiet time. Be in the Bible. Know the Word, which is what you have done. You've got these scriptures listed. And then four, recall the times that God has brought you through or delivered the meals from something like that. Sometimes when you were just so surprised. And for our listeners, these are some of the things that you can do while you're waiting on God to do what he's doing or accepting where you are. So, Sandy, we have 3 minutes left, and one of the scriptures that you have is, let me see, where is it that I want to go here? You talk about in Ecclesiastes 3:1, you say, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, which brings us to almost, you talk about the things that God has, how God has rerouted your life a little bit, and many of the things you could do, you're no longer able to do, but God is opening up doors for you to do new things. So let's talk about how you and I are going to be working together and make our big announcement today of something that God has led us to do together. So you want to tell people what you're going to be doing on the show?
Okay. I am going to be the new director of the Coffee with Kim radio show.
And what does that mean? Tell our listeners, because they may have some people in mind that they want to contact you about.
Okay, it means I'm going to be coordinating the people that will be in, that Kim will be interviewing throughout the season.
Mhm. And you've already started on that, and we have some incredible guests lined up, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I am really excited.
Oh, I am too. And I'm excited, Sandy, to have you. You've been a part of Coffee. We've been around each other for a number of years, and we had an incredible director last year. Her name was Kim. People are always getting us confused because of the Kims. And she did an incredible job, but she had to, she's going to just go be taking care of our teen radio station now. So it was really just a blessing for you to be able to step in. I remember praying about it, and God just so much put you on my mind. So to call you and for you to pray about it and then for you to come back and say yes was such a blessing. So for such a time as this, my friend, we are going to be working together. So I'm really excited. But thank you so much, Sandy, for joining me today and for telling parts of your story. I know it runs much deeper than this, but you definitely have given a lot of hope. Is there anything that you would like to say before we close this program?
Just anyone that is, if you're suffering from particularly a silent illness, to just keep the faith and pray frequently and let people know, because I know people that see me do not know that I have so many things wrong with me. I mean, they don't know that I can't hold anything or that I can't do anything physically because I look healthy just to see me. So sometimes you really do need to tell people that they're, you know, that you have things wrong with you, but that doesn't mean that you need to stay home and away from the world.
Thank you, Sandy, so much. And listeners, I hope that you have been encouraged by the incredible words of Sandy, our new Coffee director, and I hope that you'll take these words to heart, and more than anything, take them to God, because He is where we can't. Our sovereign God truly can. Thank you so much for joining us for Coffee today. And join us again next week. Let's have another incredible conversation. We'll see you then. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.